planting your flag like a Jonathan Kuminga, like, I think planting your flag with a Jonathan Kuminga compared to a De'Aaron Fox, I'd much rather do. I see the high point with Jonathan Kuminga more so than a De'Aaron Fox because of what he could do on both sides of the floor. What he could be doing offensively and defensively, Joe Shaz. It's not even close to me. And they're different players. Yeah. I'm not saying they're like-for-like guys. De'Aaron needs the ball in his hands constantly and stuff like that. But there are some parallels to what I'm seeing right now, how things could go potentially for the Dubs. And you can see it just 90 miles north or however far Sacramento is.
You know what's wild to me is, like, I'll see Warrior fans say things like, Jonathan Kuminga needs to earn X, Y, and Z. The way Curry and them earned X, Y, and Z. You guys do realize that, like, they literally traded away Monte Ellis to pave the way for Steph Curry to have full empowerment, right? Now, and I get it. Times were different. You know, they didn't have a franchise player. You know who the best player was at the time? It's David Lee, right? Now, at some point, they kind of told David Lee to take a backseat to Draymond Green, and that was by accident, not by design, because he ended up getting hurt. Klay Thompson was given the two-guard spot and was allowed to thrive. Now, they brought in Iguodala at the same time that they had drafted Harrison Barnes. But let me ask you, was Harrison Barnes a really good Warrior and a good draft pick?
I think so.
You do?
I do. I think he really good might be a stretch.
I don't want to parse your words. I'm just saying, like, was he good?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
for
so
where
too.
Where he was drafted and what he gave you to the team, he's a champion. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Are we going to remember the ending where it was bad? Are we going to remember, like, see that we do this as a fan base,
exactly,
right? It's like, are we going to do that with Klay Thompson though too? Like, who had a horrible ending to his Golden State Warriors career. Like, come on. Like, I can't remember just that. I think that's being fickle. But yes, overall, good career.
Yeah, and I like Harrison Barnett. Good guy.
He is.
He was given so many opportunities to take the mantle, all right, at a time when they did have Iguodala, an older player who was significantly better than him at that time. He averaged in 4 years with the Warriors. He played four full seasons. Kuminga's in his fourth season. He never had more than 11.7 points per game. He basically averaged 10 points a game as a Warrior. He played 8,000 minutes. Kuminga is at, like, basically a half of that many minutes and averages more points per game in his fourth season. Kuminga rebounds just as well. Assists and turnovers, all similar. Now, Harrison was a better free throw shooter and a better three-point shooter, but Kuminga takes more of them and hits more of them. And, like, I'm saying, like, not everything comes to everyone equally, depending on the situation you inherit. Harrison Barnes drafted onto a team that had a role ready for him to take. Jonathan Kuminga has had to scrap for every minute he's ever gotten, and we have made excuses on why we can't play him and can't allow him to play.
Why do you think that is? Obviously, both being, and it's interesting, I've heard the comp before, but you're bringing it back up. Both seventh overall picks, by the way.
Yeah.
First round, one was drafted from where? North Carolina.
He was the Indiana player of the year.
Right. He had all that. He had the collegiate experience.
Pedigree.
He had the pedigree.
Raw.
He's great. Raw. Just a great role model. Very quiet, but eloquent when he spoke.
A good ball player.
Very good ball and good person.
Yeah.
Right.
A guy I root for.
Yes. And not to say, and we're not saying Jonathan Kuminga is not a bad, he's not a bad person. He's young, but there are things about him. He didn't come from North Carolina. He went to the G League Ignite. Basketball wasn't ingrained in his DNA like Harrison Barnes, probably when Harrison 5, 6, 7 years old. There was a learning curve there. Yes, there's a learning curve with Jonathan Kuminga speaking to the media. There's a learning curve there. So I don't really know his personality per se. He's also quiet, but in a different way than Harrison Barnes. So there's all this baked into it. And yes, going at, like, Harrison Barnes didn't go at the media, right?
No.
He didn't go to CJ Holmes of then the San Francisco Chronicle.
Because he was playing.
Well, that's the thing. Correct. Right? So it's interesting to see, what if Harrison Barnes was drafted to Jonathan Kuminga's situation?
Exactly.
How he would have handled it, right?
How many guys in the league would still be with the Warriors right now who were drafted in Kuminga's situation?
Yeah.
And have been treated the way he has. And you know what's changed in the 12 years since the draft pick of Harrison Barnes? Because we did the same thing to Jordan Poole. The spoiled fan base and, to a degree, the organization and the prime players have zero tolerance for others that aren't from their equity, meaning of their status in the league. Very few guys get into their little club. And I get it. Believe me, if I was as good as they were, like, you saw this with LeBron and Mario Chalmers, right? LeBron treated Mario Chalmers poorly.
I was just thinking LeBron in general. There is a part of me that, like, and people scoff at it, they hate it because of the mercenary and how cutthroat he is.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that loves it because, you know what? He just wants to win at the highest level. And if you're not here to win with me, I'm going to kick you to the curb. But Mario Chalmers, to your point, he did contribute at a high level. Just, you're not LeBron, you're not D-Wade, you're not Bosh.
No.
Sorry, you're not a Hall of Famer. But even
Bosh, I think Bosh went through the crucible with LeBron James.
He did.
And I think at one point in time, everyone thought Bosh was the weak link and he should be right out of town.
Kevin Love, another one.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I just think it's very difficult to play with these mega superstars who are generational all-timers. And what's funny to me is that we have not been able to embrace Jonathan Kuminga. If I told Warrior fans pre-championships that they would have a player as tantalizing as Jonathan Kuminga, we would have been salivating for that kind of talent. We were propping up Garbo players year after year after year who were way more flawed than Jonathan Kuminga was. And I know he's not a perfect player, and he's got a long way to go. All I'm saying is that if we can't celebrate this guy in one of his best weeks in the NBA, shame on us.
What are they going to pay him? They maxing him out?
Play it out. Let it play out.
Okay.
Because here's what I would say. This is what I say. Like, this is a perfect.
That's the next conversation is what I'm saying.
But this is the inner tube season, right? So whatever he does, you sit in the inner tube, you kind of see where the river ends at the end of the year.
The river rat tube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that. And you say, all right, Jonathan, like, you think you're a $40 million player? Well, $40 million players close out games strongly 9 times out of 10. And that doesn't mean scoring. That doesn't mean leading the team, but like doing the little things, griming and boxing out and getting big rebounds and taking on defensive assignments.
Closing out baseline help, Austin Reeves, right? And the other like stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which brother.
But this is part of the Kuminga experience that I'm telling everyone. We have to be ready for the ups and the downs. We can't just be here for the ups. You have to be here for the ups and the downs. And I think that's like, as for so many people make excuses on the downs of Draymond Green, make some excuses on the downs of Jonathan Kuminga every now and then. That's all I'm asking. Just let's be a little patient for the kid.
The coach in Vallejo, he's been patient with Jonathan Kuminga and he's been patient waiting here.
I can't wait to hear from coach.
What's up, coach? You're on with
up, buddy?
Spadoni and Shasky in the Morning Roast. How you doing, man?
Hey, good, Spadone, Shasky, and happy new year to you both. And Shasky, I can't agree with you more. I don't know any player that's perfect, okay? And no matter what Kuminga does, everyone tries to find something that he doesn't do. Now, Kuminga has been great drawing fouls for the Warriors. When's the last time a Warrior went to the line 14 times in one game? And that's not only good for Kuminga, it's good for the Warrior team because he puts the other team in foul trouble. And that's a big part of basketball. So Kuminga is great at that. He played 37 minutes the other night, one turnover, one. So can we put the rest that he doesn't have good handles with the ball? I mean, he's improved greatly in that. But they'll pick out, oh, he didn't rotate over for Wiggins when Wiggins just totally went to sleep on Reeves because he didn't think Reeves would try to even take him to the hoop. So Wiggins snoozed. Yeah, Kuminga could have rotated over, but the big part of that was Wiggins because Wiggins was playing Reeves for an outside shot, and he got beat on the dribble, and he never thought Reeves could beat him on the dribble, and Reeves did. Now, Kuminga, there's, again, no one plays a perfect game. You can pick any player in history, and I could show you a weak part of their game, whether it's Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Steph. You can always point out something weak. So I just get tired of people pointing out, oh, Kuminga didn't rotate over. Oh, Kuminga, he lost the handle. He's allowed to make a turnover. Everybody makes turnovers.
Exactly.
It's basketball. You know, it's basketball. So I'm with you, Shasky. Let's celebrate on a historic moment of Jonathan Kuminga and the Golden State Warriors, and that's all Coach, we should talk about.
Coach, before you go, we all acknowledge how rare and how special Steph Curry is. But if you watch, and I know you watch, because that's why I want to have the – if you watch the games, you're starting to see it. Like, he's just, no one's saying he's not great, and he can't be great like he did on Christmas. But the days of him dragging this team through the crucible of an 82-game season and then being the vintage self, everyone get on my back at every single time, those days are starting to be few and far between. He needs guys who can go every single night. And Kuminga's a guy who can go every night.
I totally agree, and I think right along with him is Trayce Jackson-Davis. And
You know, Trey,
he's opening my eyes.
I mean, he plays above the rim.
Yeah.
He's a good low post player. He's very strong down there. And if they let Kuminga and Trace go, and looks like Steph and Draymond are willing to hand over the keys. Yeah. That's what's so great. Yeah. Steph and Draymond is buying into it. So I wish the fans would buy into it too. I know it's hard getting off our hero, Steph, but it looks like it's a new era. And I think we should just go all in on Kuminga.
Thanks, Coach.
I'm with you. And I'm not saying trade everything to run everything that Kuminga wants. Like, no, that's foolish. But like, what I'm saying is we're in a transition period. It's Curry's team. But we need to be preparing ourselves for the mantle to be passed over to John the Kuminga. Is it a year from now? Is it 3 years from now? I don't know. But I think more times than not, like what you saw on Saturday night was special. You saw Jonathan Kuminga take control of that game in the waning moments and the team back out of the way and let him do his thing. And I thought he did it on both ends.
I've been very impressed with JK and Trayce Jackson-Davis to this point. And you know, I think people are sleeping a little bit because he left the game early, but he was handling Anthony Davis earlier in that game. It was a few possessions. It was 7 minutes, but he was more than holding his own. I've seen that against Anthony Davis, one of the premier, if not one of the best defenders in the NBA. And I've seen it against Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's won DPOYs and who is an MVP and one of the top five players in the NBA when he is on. So yeah, I've seen him do it against Giannis and AD. I'm sold on what he could do against the big boys. All right. Now I need a larger sample size.
Of course.
But I know at the very least he is capable and up to the task. One Trayce Jackson-Davis.
And
all right.
He's really opened my eyes.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I thought he had like a 2 week period where he was not playing well. And I would say last, what do you think? Week and a half. He's been awesome.
Awesome. You know what else is awesome? Oh, I guess it's not really awesome, depending on how you view it.